Well, good evening. Welcome to the congregation that meets here at Wildercroft. To you who are visiting with us, you are honored guests. Of all the places you could have chosen to be, you chose to be here with us. If you would please, take the time to fill out a visitor's card, which is in the pew in front of you, so that we would have a record of your attendance. And also, please remain after the service so we have an opportunity to meet with you. I'd like to thank God, our elders, and our evangelists for the opportunity to stand before friends and family to deliver this message this evening. As I share this message, please follow along in your Bibles and take notes, making sure the things I say are in accordance with the Holy Scriptures. As a going church for a coming Lord, we would be happy to give book, chapter, and verse for any questions you have as to what is said or done here. Please turn to your Bible, to Luke chapter 13, beginning at 22nd verse. That's Luke chapter 13, 22nd verse. And I'll be reading the English Standard Version. English Standard Version. And it reads, "He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, 'Lord, will those who are saved be few?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out, and the people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Placing an emphasis on verse number 24, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I like to preach unto you this message with the title, Striving for Our King and the Kingdom. Yes, striving for our King and the Kingdom. The word strive, when heard, brings about the connotation of putting forth your maximum effort, doing things you can do, doing everything you can do, and more. Some things that remind me most about striving is we have to do everything. You and I must undergo all the necessary changes to become better. Making progress, not staying the same. It reminds me of the song that we sing here. Some things I used to do, I don't do them no more. Some things I used to say, I don't say them no more. Some places I used to go, I don't go there no more. When talking about striving for our King, we're talking about striving for our King in the kingdom. When we hear the word strive, a strict regimen comes to mind. For an example, for the last few weeks and months, I've been exercising and strength training. And I can hear the trainer saying, one more rep, one more push-up, you know, one more repetition of lifting. And his name was Alex, and he would say, hang in there a little longer, just one more time, 30 seconds longer. If you would just turn one more time to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse number 24 through 27. And I like the way the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says this passage. And I'll be reading it from the New International Version. "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. This is Paul saying, this is how he fights, how he beats himself, how he makes his body his own slave. That word competes in this NIV version. Competes is equivalent to strives. If you were reading it in the ESV version, it says exercises. Exercises is equivalent to that word strive. One of the greatest inventors of our time was Thomas Edison. He was accredited with the invention of the light bulb and electricity, sound recording, and motion pictures, things that we can't even do without right now. He stated about himself that genius is 1% inspiration, but 99% perspiration, meaning he had stick-to-itiveness. He stuck to a task until it was done. He had dogged persistence. And this is the same thing our King is saying to us. Strive to enter through the narrow door, in verse 24a. As Jesus is teaching and journeying through Jerusalem, the question is thrown out from someone in the crowd, and it is, will those who are saved be few? Amazing question, because everybody wants to be saved and go to heaven. And it's even a more amazing answer, because what Jesus teaches with his response. I want to make 3 points that are found embedded within our Lord's teachings. Point number one. Strive to know and adhere to the truth. That is, strive to adhere to know truth and adhere to it. Please turn to John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And it reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, will I come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also? And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Also in John, the 8th chapter, it's John, the 8th chapter, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It is our King who says, we are wrong when we don't know the truth of Scriptures or the power of God, according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 29th verse. All the more reasons, brothers and sisters, the reason of encouragement to give is given to read and study Scriptures daily, to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. The Bible is the source of our absolute truth. It reveals the church began on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 2, 36 through 47. It reveals Jesus as the head of the one body, the church. He is the beginning and the first from among the dead, according to Colossians 1 and 18. It reveals Jesus as the Savior of the one body, according to Ephesians 5 and 23 through 25. It reveals that the church was purchased by his blood, according to Acts 20 and 28. The Bible reveals the gospel in Romans 1 and 16 when Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek." It reveals the death, burial, and resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It reveals that all men are commanded to obey the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8. It reveals how to obey the gospel, according to Romans 6, 3 through 5. It reveals that Peter and Paul preached identical messages, the message that man must repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. Yes, it's the Bible that reveals upon man's following of God's given instruction. Man has access to God's grace according to Colossians 2:11-13. It reveals upon obedience to God's faithful instructions. God adds the saved to the one body of Christ according to Ephesians 4:4. The church of Christ according to Romans 16:16. It reveals the New Testament Christians continued in the apostles' teaching according to Acts 2:42-46. They met on the first day of the week, according to Acts 20:7, to sing and pray, to give of their means, according to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and to be exhorted by preaching, according to that same verse. Yes, it's the Bible that reveals that the only instrument authorized, sanctioned, and endorsed in New Testament worship unto God and by God is the human voice, according to Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. It reveals that each congregation of the Lord's church is self-governed by qualified elders, according to 1 Timothy 3:1-7, and not single pastors. There was never one man who made all the decision in the church of our Lord, according to 1 Timothy 5:17 and Titus 1:5. It reveals the Lord's church was not a denomination. It is a blood-bought spiritual institution that the saved are added to by God. Men had never voted other men into the church of our Lord. It's the Bible that rebukes human doctrine, human creeds, and human opinions, according to Matthew 5:15-9, and Proverbs 14:9. It's the same Bible that reveals that Christians are members of God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the buttress of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 3:15. You see, striving for the King and the kingdom, we must strive to know truth and adhere to it. That was point number one. Point number two, let's strive for righteousness and to do good works. We have a righteous king worthy of imitating. Listen to your Bible in Luke chapter 6, starting with 27th verse through the 36. That's Luke chapter 6, 27 through 36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. For one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind and to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. See, we are products of God's effort. We are Christians to do good works according to Ephesians 2:10. We must not grow weary in doing good according to Galatians 6:9. We only have one mission in Christ, and it is the Great Commission. We must seek and save the lost. Listen to your Bible in Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 23 to 25. That's Hebrews 10th chapter, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. I know this is not hard. It's not easy. This is not an easy life. But we must remain faithful. We must remain diligent to being righteous and doing good work. I don't know how it happens, but I was told that if you focus your mind on what you need to do, it won't be too hard. Here recently, we started this work. And that's all I've concentrated on is that work. It's our work. And it's blessed my life. I don't know how to tell you it. But listen to your Bible again. Titus, 3rd chapter. Verse 1 through 8. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slave to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness of our loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of work done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good work. These things are excellent and profitable for people. That radio broadcast, these good works, we started back in April. And since April, we went to the initial meeting. I didn't think I wanted to be on that radio program. I just wanted to study with them. I studied with them. Something changed my life. Couldn't stop helping, reaching out. Couldn't stop helping people. Couldn't stop exposing the truth. Good works. The good works just did something. Striving for righteousness. It's our work. It's the work that we're called to do. That radio broadcast is a good work because it is saving souls. It is pointing people to the truth, and it's getting people out of complacency. We have a lot of trailblazers that went before us. So many trailblazers went before us because of faith. They couldn't see it. They didn't see what we see. They didn't have the big picture like we have. But they did it anyway. Consider those trailblazers of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went out. He went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him to the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You see, in striving for our king and the kingdom, we must strive for righteousness. Point number three. The question for you and I is, how badly do we want to reside in heaven? I know a man, very good man, and he's put a lot of effort into things that he's done. He's made lots and lots of sacrifices. And I stand back afar and I amaze him. And I think of all the time he must have practiced his skills, and he's a great orator. Thunders. And I say, one day, I'd like to be like him. And I watched him recite poem after poem. It seems like there was no end to it. Somebody asked, how many more of those do you got? He said, I got a lot of them. And undoubtedly, he does have a lot of them. He can recite them, and he's good at it. And I'm just so proud that he is my shepherd. And undoubtedly, he has a striven to do a good work. And he's striven to make heaven his home. But I have a grouping of words here that comes from the motivational arena. And that's what I'm hoping I'm doing for you. I'm hoping I'm motivating you to want to have a home in heaven. And this comes from Les Brown. And it's called, If You Want a Thing Bad Enough. And I hope that you want heaven bad enough. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, to work day and night for it, to give up your time, your peace, your sleep for it, if all that you dream and scheme is about it, if life seems useless and worthless without it, if you gladly sweat for it and fret for it and plan for it and lose all your terror of the opposition for it, if you simply go after the thing that you want with all of your capacity, strength and sagacity, hope, faith, and confidence, and stern pertinacity, neither cold, poverty, famine, nor gout, sickness, nor pain of body and brain can keep you away from that thing that you want. If dogged and grim, you beseech and beset it. With the help of God, you can get it. You see, we're talking about heaven. Nobody will haphazardly wind up there. Do you remember the man after God's own heart? The one that King Saul loses his kingdom to. That's right, David. David reigns. He has victories. He brings the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And yes, David has an affair with Bathsheba. And that, from that affair, they have a child. And the Lord sends Nathan to rebuke David. And the child that Bathsheba bore to David, the Lord struck. But I'd like you to look at David's resolve to go to heaven. And I'd like to pick up this story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Starting about the 18th verse. Second Samuel chapter 12, 18. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servant of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm. But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, 'Is the child dead?' They said, 'He is dead.' Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. And then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, 'What is this thing you have done? You fast and wept for the child while the child was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate.' He said, 'While the child was still alive, I fast and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" David had a powerful resolve to go to heaven despite the things of his life. We have to have the same resolve as David to go to heaven. It's not where you are. It's where you want to be. As I prepare to close this lesson this evening, if you didn't get anything out of this message, not one thing, my prayer request for you is that you remember we must strive for our King and the kingdom, and the rest will fall in line. You must strive to know the truth and adhere to it. You must strive for righteousness and good work. You must strive for eternal life. Listen to Paul's request to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. That's 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, conduct, in love, faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which is given you by prophecy, when the councils of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings. persist in this, for by so doing, you may save both yourself and the hearers. The Lord's invitation is extended to all those who want salvation and the promise of eternal life. Come now, don't delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Please come now as you promise to obey his commands. Unite with Christ. Become a Christian. You've heard his word on this evening from our chosen text of Luke 13, 22 through 30. I'm going to read it again. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will not enter and will not be able, because, now he didn't put anything in there, I'm putting something in here, is because seeking is not striving. Seeking is not striving. The Lord didn't answer the question directly. It was an indirect question. He indirectly answered it. The master of the house is ever watchful. He's observing all comings and all goings. He's checking for those who are faking, pretending, readying to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. Once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out, the people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some will be our last who are first, and some who are first will be last. You've heard his word this evening, according to John 6:45. Do you believe what you've heard? Are you ready to obey the gospel of Jesus? According to John 46 through 50. Are you ready to repent of your sins? According to Luke 13 and 3. Are you ready to confess Christ? According to Matthew 10:32. Are you ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins? According to Acts 2 and 38. Are you ready to live faithfully to the end? According to Matthew 10 and 22. Is there one today? Don't leave here if you're not right with God. Come forward now. Now's the time. Don't delay. Make up your mind. It is not a time to be ashamed. Come forward. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the saints, or you need to make a confession, come forward now while we stand together and sing the song that's been selected.